It was quiet now, in Kruger's pub. The musicians had put their instruments away, called for a last round of drinks, and they all sat talking quietly before walking out into the dark night. As I watched, the man in the corner put his whistle away, drained his glass, and looked about ready to leave. The Dublin man saw me watching him, and he says,
"Jay, you wouldn't want to hear that fella shouting alone in a dark alley now, would you? It's like it's calling you somewhere, you know."
"Yeah," I said. "Come on." So we got up and we walked to the man's table. He was a small man, maybe about 80 years old. But his hands and his arms and his shoulders somehow looked very strong. He had thinning white hair and deep blue eyes. I said to him, "Could we buy you a drink?"
"You could. You could. You'll go over to the bar now, and you'll ask Martin to mix me up my restorative."
So I walked to the bar, and I asked Martin, the barman, to mix up the restorative. And in a very short time, Martin set before me a small glass filled with a mysterious steaming liquid. It was a beautiful, deep, dark, amber sort of color. But if you'd been there with me, you'd have known what it was, just by the look of it and just by the smell of it. It was hot water, it was clove, it was honey, and it was whiskey. Well, Martin the barman leaned through the mist rising from the glass, and he said,
"Did you ever see that film with your man Bruce Willis, did you?"
"Which one?" I said.
The one where the little boy keeps seeing dead people. Did you ever see that?"
"Yeah, The Sixth Sense," I said, "but why do you ask?"
Just wondering. You'd better take this to Brendan over there, while it's still warm."
So I took the drink over to Brendan's table. He picked it up, he raised it to me, and he says,
"I've been drinking this now for 3 months for me cold. And thanks be to God, it hasn't done me the least bit of good."
Well, we were laughing about that. And then he says,
"You are a lawyer, aren't you?"
"Why do you say that?" I said.
"Oh, you've got a lawyer's face on you. Still, that was a grand, sweet bit of music you played in the harp there."
"Well, thank you very much," I said, "but man, that was one powerful tune that you just played."
"Oh, it is. It is a powerful tune."
"Well, where did you get it?"
"Oh, I had it from me father."
"And did he compose it?" I said.
No, he had it from his father."
"And was he the one who composed it?"
No, he had it from his father."
"And I suppose he had it from his father, right?"
"He did not. He hoarded it out there on the island."
Well, Brendan drained his restorative. He looked at us both and he said,
"He was alone. My great-grandfather was. Out on Inishfickleon late at night in the hut, and he was scraping away in the fiddle, when he heard voices passing over the roof. And each time they passed over, well, he caught more of the tune they were singing. And each time they passed over, he was able to play more of it on the fiddle. Well, he kept at it all night, till he had it fixed in his fingers. Then in the morning, he rode back to the great island, and he played that tune for my grandfather. And in time, my grandfather played it to me father. And in course of time, well, my father played it to me. And that tune, boy, that tune has been out on the blasket from that day to this."
"Well, it's one great tune," I said. "But look, can you tell me, what does it mean?"
"Mean? I think maybe you know yourself already that it is a tune of goodbye and a tune of remembrance. Now the good people of Tir na n Og, the fairy people, whispered that tune on the wind when one of themselves died. It drifted over from their world to ours. It's their way of saying, Dorfwegian law. Chok yinir.
What does that mean? I said.
I learned that one in school. It means
Elvis has left the building,
right?
More like, says Brendan, more like. It means, long as the day is, night comes. Now I paid that tune for every one of the islanders who died in my time.
Well, where would you play the tune, I said. I mean, here in the bar, or at the wake, or the funeral, what?
I would play it when I was alone out on the sea.
Well, why would you be alone in the sea, I said. Brendan looked at us both for a while, and then he said,
I was 8 years old when my father first took me out in the boat. Off we cast from the harbour on the Great Island, and we made our way across to Beganish. Now my father was a strong man on the oars, and in no time at all we came to the place where the lobster pots were set. Well, now my father took hold of the rope, and he began to haul the pots, and he says, tell me what you see down there, Brendan, says he to me. Says, tell me what you see below. So I looked down, and I saw those pots come rising toward me. But then, it was like the depths of the sea cleared before me. And I said, I see a road, Father. I see a road running along the bottom of the sea. Do you know, says my father. Then what do you see on that road, Brendan?
I see a man on the road, Father. I see a man, and he making his way toward the White Strand.
And who might that man be, Brendan, says my father.
Holy Jesus, boy. Do you know him?
Why, says I. Says your Uncle Thomas,
and he making his way nice and easy off to the island. My father said nothing, but he hauled up the pots and we rowed for shore. Oh, Master Nevy, God rest him. Drowned. 1 week later. Now, as I grew older, I came to see all the blasted people on the road below, just before they died. And I would play the tune for each of them as they walked. And no one but my father would ever ride in a boat with me.
Did you ever hear the tune yourself? I mean on the wind, like your great-grandfather.
We did, boy. We did. But only the one time. I was 20 years old, and my father and myself were out in the boat when I heard the singing.
I looked around to see whether there was some other boat nearby. But we were alone. I looked down in the water. And I saw my father walking the road below. I looked up at him. And he knew.
Well, in the days left to him, we worked together, and together we built a boat that could be carried and rowed by one man. And from that day to this point, I have fished and travelled the sea alone.
Did you get to say goodbye to him? I said.
I did, boy. Thanks be to God I did. And come here to me now. I played the tune for him. And now of an evening, well, it's often I play the tune for the island itself.
Do you still go out?
Said the double man. No. For the legs have given out on me. Though I can still row the boat right enough, young man. But I haven't the strength to carry, or you see.
And, your boat, where do you keep her?
Well, she's down in the quay, young man. I haven't seen her myself for some time, but I've a hard time in the path down. But the lads tell me, boy, that she's there still, sound and seaworthy. The beauty, I call her. The fine beauty of the island.
Well, I noticed Brendan and the double man lock eyes. And then Brendan says to me,
but the thing is, we're not on the sea now. So you play us a tune on that harp of yours over there. We don't often hear such a thing in this place.